Welcome home. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Good to have you aboard with us as we go on the Orange Magic carpet ride here this week, looking for a clinchmas. But in the meantime, we're talking Ravens football. We're going to be giving away Ravens scratch-offs courtesy of the Maryland Lottery on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We were at Coco's last Friday in Lauraville, had Mike Brisigliano, had Max Weiss, had Liz and her brother, Seabass, who, if you spend any time at Coco's, you know them, as well as Ultra Nate. Just a phenomenal show, all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation and our newest sponsor, Jiffy Lube MultiCare. Be talking about those oil changes as well as Window Nation at 866-90-NATION. We have to hiatus it a little bit because we have this this Oriole Magic thing. We are going to be up at Hollywood Casino on the 15th with the Ravens. I don't know what their record's going to be. They're 2-1 now after a hideous loss to the Colts on Sunday. We'll be there bright and early on October the 15th at the Hollywood Casino at Perryville. My picks weren't as good this week with Christian Horton. We'll see how they go. I got off to a good start, much like the Ravens. I struggled in week three a little bit. Maybe the weather, maybe it was the offense, maybe it was the pass rush on the quarterback. Luke Jones joins us now. He'll be in Owings Mills all week, picking up the pieces of a 22-19 overtime loss to the former team from Baltimore and the Horseshoes. And I celebrated my 50th anniversary as a Colts true blue believer back in the day, but it was song sung blue on Sunday. And Luke, Lamar struggled, right? Like, and they went back to this Lamar running the football was their best play on Sunday. And that can't be their best play. And that's probably why I never loved this thing 4, 5, 6 years ago, because I'm like, that can't be their best play. And right now with the injuries and where they are and no running backs, and now they appear that they've lost Gus Edwards again, and maybe they've lost Bateman. This is it's an attrition thing, and he's still their best football player. He's still their best chance to win.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why you gave him $260 million. I mean, it's that simple. I'll say this. Lamar Jackson running the ball is going to continue to be one of their very best plays. Now, I'm in agreement with you that they need to be able to do other things and do other things more proficiently. And we really we saw them struggle with not being able to push the ball down the field. I mean, think about the first couple drives. Lamar completes the 20-yard pass to Isaiah Likely on the opening touchdown drive, the 20-yarder to Andrews, the 24-yard, which was more of a short pass to Drake, but catch and run, you know, as they get close to the red zone before Drake puts the ball on the turf and everything changes from that point. But after that, I mean, it was very little downfield passing. I think a big part of that was the offensive line, you know, as well as the offensive line played in Cincinnati against the Bengals front. They really struggled. And I mentioned in our previous segment that's a good Indianapolis front. It is. I mean, as much as we look at the Colts as this rebuilding team, because, you know, they have a rookie quarterback who didn't play on Sunday and they have a rookie head coach, still talented players. You know, they're lacking skill talent at the skill positions on either side of the ball, but they have good football players. And when you have an undermanned offensive line that you're hoping can duplicate what they did in Cincinnati, that's not always going to happen. That's why they're backup players, right? Backups can play well for periods of time, but if you're having to depend on them for multiple weeks, it's probably not going to turn out well for you. So Lamar Jackson, you know, after a hot start, I mean, let's call a spade. And I saw some people mention that he was inaccurate. I mean, he completed 71% of his passes. Like, let's not let facts get in the way of descriptors here.
Well, he made that face in the post game with you guys in there. He's made that face at me. When I ask him why you run the ball 21, the first thing he does is does that dramatic, what you're talking about, Willis, you know, like thing. And I'm like, okay. I mean, but he threw behind receivers.
But my point, times. But Nestor, he still completed 71% of his passes. I don't think inaccuracy was as much of the issue as they just couldn't push the ball down the field. I mean, think about it. Zay Flowers had 8 catches for 48 yards. Zay Flowers, the speedy guy who makes everyone miss, averaged 6 yards per catch. So, and look, I'm not saying Lamar Jackson's accuracy was perfect either. Let me be clear about that. But I don't think the accuracy was as much of an issue as they just didn't make any plays. You know, everything was underneath. And I think a big product of that was the offensive line. I do think, you know, I don't think Lamar played all that terribly well either. I think
we can't be dismissive of the running element. That's part of who he is. And that counts, by the way. You know, that's part of why they paid him what they paid him. You don't want to eliminate that. I've said that over and over. The worst thing that you could do is just try to make Lamar Jackson a pocket passer, you know, like Tom Brady. I mean, that's not who he is. But you don't want to have to rely on that to the degree that the Ravens had to rely on that on Sunday. I mean,
when you're
about
losing
it.
In the fourth quarter, that's the best you're going to do.
But it wasn't even, I mean, he was perfect in the first quarter. I mean, didn't throw an incompletion. And then in the second quarter, because of fumbles and because they couldn't stay on the field and pass protection was shoddy, and he didn't even attempt a pass in the second quarter. He was sacked twice, but he didn't even attempt a pass. And they had a couple, you know, multiple fumbles. So
I think there's a lot of problems with them throwing the football right now, with him dropping back and being a quote unquote pocket passer, that there's not a pocket there. He steps up. He's got nowhere to go. It looks different. And it looks like every other offense I've ever seen, including Joe Flacco. But the problem is the center and the left tackle aren't as good as the center and the left tackle. And the wide receivers suddenly aren't Beckham and Bateman, and they're Flowers. And to your point, the front seven of the Colts, excellent, but they tackled too. And they got, mm-hmm. they got guys down onto the ground, but they're not going to have 4, 5, 6 seconds, first read, second read. Oh, I'm going to throw the ball 62 yards down the field and find Bateman on the fly, or Hollywood Brown, or whoever that the taking the top off, Deshaun Jackson, whoever's going to take the top off the offense as a wide receiver. Maybe it's Aguilar, right? Like that. There's a lot that has to happen in the framework without Ronnie Stanley, without Linderbaum, without Pat Ricard on the field, because you're setting up to throw the football, right? That you're not taking Andrews underneath or Zay Flowers underneath, because that long play, that's going to be hard for them. Without the running game, without the running backs, without the threat of Dobbins, that long pass that we dreamed up with all these wide receivers, that's a lot harder to do when Morgan Moses is banged up in one knee and two-fifths of the other offensive line are nowhere to be found. And that's, I'm defending them now. I'm defending why this
sure.
isn't working.
Sure. And look, they were able to do that in week two. The pass protection didn't just hold up. It was really good. And Lamar Jackson and this passing, the quick game, we talked about it all last week. They got into a rhythm and he was very accurate and he made good decisions. And then the occasions where they did take a deeper drop, they were trying to push the ball downfield. The pass protection held up to do that. What we're talking about here, and I'm glad you mentioned it, and you even brought up Joe Flacco, because you and I exchanged texts Sunday night, and you made, you know, just to pull back the curtain a little bit, I don't think you would mind here, but you made the comment about, you know, the quarterback struggling against pressure on Sunday. By the way, that's most quarterbacks, and that was Joe Flacco. You know, for
well, that's why Tom Brady and Peyton Manning got rid of the ball early. You never saw them in dispute because they got rid of the ball before they had a guy breathing on them, where they had to deliver a ball 28 yards outside the pocket on time and with a guy in their face without getting their shoulder separated while they threw it, right? So, like, the whole game, the whole goal is to make sure Lamar doesn't have that happen. I'm not sure that's possible now.
I mean, right now, without Stanley, without Linderbaum, yeah, it's tough to disagree with you. And it's tough to think that it's going to hold up in Cleveland with the way the Browns have played early on defensively, if you're not going to have Stanley and Linderbaum out there. So, but, you know, what you're mentioning, and look, Tom Brady hated pressure, especially inside pressure. You know, defensive tackles that could make him move his feet. That was how you beat Tom Brady. It didn't happen a whole lot, but the formula for how to beat him was always that interior pressure. So, you know, what we're talking about here with Jackson is not unique to him. Very few quarterbacks perform well against pressure. And when you talk about the Colts, I mean, it wasn't just the front four, but, you know, they send blitzes and they did very well with that. And the Ravens did not handle it well. So we talked about it. They got off to a fast start. And you look at how Lamar performed in the first quarter throwing the football. And then second quarter, they couldn't protect, and they certainly didn't protect the football. And that for me is probably my biggest concern early on. You know, the passing game, I always expected that this was going to be a work in progress. You know, you don't go from a Greg Roman offense to something that is more 11 personnel, more wide open, more of a responsibility for Lamar to get the ball out quickly by design, not even talking about the pass protection, just
that's how they want to play. You know, Lamar has been someone as a mobile quarterback that has been accustomed to holding the ball longer, and that's worked out when the pass protection has been good. That's worked beautifully because you can either make the big plays down the field, or if no one's open, Lamar takes off and suddenly he's in, you know, you have guys in the secondary that are 20 yards downfield trying to react to tackle the fastest quarterback in football. So, you know, it is a transformation that I didn't expect to be flawless in week one. It looked really, really good in week two, even with some of the guys that were missing. But again, a reminder that this is week to week, matchup to matchup. And when you are talking about the number of injuries the Ravens have, specifically with their offensive line, but then throwing in Odell Beckham, throwing in Bateman having the hamstring late in the game, although he wasn't, that's an issue for me too. You got to find a way to get Rashad Bateman more involved. You know, he's been largely a non-factor through 3 weeks. You know, and we know that the talent is there. We've seen it in the past. So, you know, that there's a lot working against this offense right now. When it starts up front, when you don't have adequate pass protection, which they did not have that in week three, and Lamar, you know, at times escaped. You know, he was sacked what, four times? Could have been six or seven easily. I mean, we can.
Oh my God, it's like a pinball.
It could have been
like
eight.
You can't
right.
get into the ground, and like you. And I'm thinking, like, a safety shoots the gap and tries to tackle him around his shoulders. I mean, the first thing you should be going at is his legs, right? Like, and these guys don't do it. And he has proven to be tough to tackle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and let's be clear. You can't do it when he's in the pocket as a passer. So that's part of it. But yeah, in the open field, you know, when he's scrambling, you know, that's a different story. But I mean, it's just, it looks so good. The first two drives until Kenyon Drake puts the ball on the ground, and it just, you know, it really went away and didn't come back until what, late in the third quarter then. I mean, where they finally got the running game going and they did just enough with the passing game. But you look at his numbers the rest of the way, you know, third quarter, you know, I mentioned the second quarter, didn't even attempt to pass. Third quarter, 7 of 9, but only for 44 yards. I mean, that's just under 5 yards an attempt. I mean, that just shows you they weren't pushing the ball downfield, you know. And, you know, fourth quarter, they got a little bit more going on that front. It was 7 of 10 for 62 yards. But, you know, then late in regulation, they couldn't run the clock out. And that was much more not being able to run the ball. But you look in overtime, you know, he completed one pass. Now, likely dropped one in a crucial spot. So, you know, it's not as though Lamar was getting a lot of help on that front, but, you know, it just, the offense completely broke down and, you know, could not sustain drives, could not move consistently, could not get points in overtime. I mean, they wasted great field position on both drives in overtime. And I mean, it just, that was disappointing, especially after the way they started. And I think what's troubling for me, you know, if we're going to acknowledge the pass protection, but also acknowledge, you know, you got to still have to find a way to make a few more plays downfield. They operated better on that front in the first quarter when there was some precipitation. As the game went on, the rain, you know, for the most part disappeared, right? I mean, at least it looked that way from the press box.
It was not a bad weather game the way everybody thought it was.
Right. I mean, and you know, wind is usually the big factor. I mean, I remember, you know, Flacco talking about this. John Harbaugh's talked about this in the past. You know, Lamar's talked about it. You know, as much as everyone talks about, you know, the raining. And look, if it's a monsoon like in New England a couple years back, that Sunday night game, that's a different story. But, you know, it was a light rain, a heavy mist, however you want to classify it, early on. But they did better throwing the ball downfield early on. Pass protection, again, was the major issue. I'll continue to point to that. But, you know, you'd like to think that there were some more plays to make downfield, and that just didn't happen, whether it was Lamar not taking it. And, you know, let's also – I'm not saying this to you know, fire up this conversation too much, but, you know, what was Todd Monken trying to accomplish with what they were running? You know, but I think so much of it still comes back to – you were so banged up on the offensive line, facing a really good Indy defensive front. And, oh, yeah, you're also down to your fourth and fifth running backs. No J.K. Dobbins, no Justice Hill this week. Gus Edwards leaves with a concussion.
By the way, so good luck protecting Lamar in those sets.
Sure. I mean, it's just it all comes together. I mean, we always try to not when I say we, just in a general sense, we always try to put it on one thing, but it's the entire operation then that breaks down when you have guys missing, key guys missing, and you know, you're everything is supposed to complement itself, right? Run game complements the passing game and vice versa. You know, your pass protection allows your quarterback to stand tall in the pocket, allows receivers to get into routes. You know, you're missing guys on that front. I mean, it broke down. It looked really good for about a quarter, not even a quarter, 10 minutes, let's say 11 minutes, 12 minutes. And they chased that level of efficiency and production the rest of the way. And, you know, you just look at it in very plain terms. They scored 17 points at home against a team that has a good front, but does not have a great secondary. I mean, I mentioned, Indianapolis, one of the starting corners listed on their depth chart this week was a healthy scratch. They benched them. That shows you how much unrest and uncertainty there is on the back end of their defense. And the Ravens did not exploit that whatsoever. And again, I think the big reason why were breakdowns and pass protection, but you know, it's everyone. And that includes Lamar Jackson. Comes down to, and I said this when we were talking about this, you know, in an earlier segment, no one made the big play at the end, whether you're talking about Lamar, whether you're talking about one of the receivers.
Tucker, I mean, on TV, that ball was going through 100 times and it fell short. And I'm like, what? I had it up on my screen, right? You know, like I was ready to hit send on my Twitter.
Yeah.
Or my X, whatever we're calling it these days. And that's how shocked I was that he missed it. And we shouldn't be shocked at missing 61-yard field goals, but we are.
I was just going to say, right. I mean, we're not talking about a 51-yarder there. It was a 61-yarder, but it lends itself back to the point I was just making. No one made the big play to put the Ravens over the. They needed one play, a turnover on defense on one of those final couple drives.
They needed Zay Flowers to run the ball around for 3.5 seconds. They needed the coaching staff to tell him that.
They needed a first down. Even after that, if you get one first down, and that game is maybe you're punting it back to them with a few seconds left.
Saying is they don't have a great running game right now. What we're saying is they can't go down the field right now because they can't protect Lamar. And oh, by the way, Lamar running the football is still their best play because that's something they can do. They don't need anything else to work for that. They just need to scatter everybody out, deke them around a little bit, dink and dunk underneath a little bit, put Pat Ricard in there to be a pinball, and Lamar can get you 7 yards.
Yeah. And I'll say this, Lamar Jackson needs to take better care of the football. I mean, this has been an issue now for 3 weeks. Now, week two, remember the fumble, got wiped out by the penalty. So no harm, no foul, but we still saw it happen. It doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but we still saw it happen. He's got to protect the football better. I mean, they have to be more careful with the football. And that was very disappointing how that first half played out, where you know, Kenyon Drake fumbles. Okay, it's one fumble. It's a fumble that, it's a bummer because you're about to score points and maybe have a chance to go up 14-0 before the first quarter is even over. But then they fumbled three more times over their next 7 offensive snaps. I mean, that can't happen. And I don't care whose fault it is, you know, whether it's the quarterback, pass protection, all of the above, bad snap by Mustafa, all of the above, that can't happen. And, you know, it completely derailed a good start, and it allowed Indianapolis to have what? Hope. And the Colts took advantage of it, and they weren't perfect either, but they made just enough plays. And, you know, we haven't talked a whole lot about the defense. The defense wasn't awful by any stretch of the imagination on Sunday. And I mean, Kyle Hamilton had an unbelievable football game, but you know, they had opportunities to make plays at times, and other times, you know, Zach Moss was running the football. I mean, they gave up a 122-yard rusher on Sunday. That's not Ravens like right there. I mean, even with a couple of the guys missing that were missing in that game, I mean, you know, that you just don't see that from a Ravens team. But, you know, credit Zach Moss, credit a Colts offensive line that, by the way, was without their Pro Bowl center. So, you know, it's not as though Indianapolis was at full strength either. But certainly, you know, it just comes down to, as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, breakdowns occurred in every phase you can imagine at some point in time during the football game. The offense, I will continue to say, was the biggest culprit. But we talked about the coaching, special teams. They allowed a couple punt returns. Jordan Stout had a bad punt at the very end of, you know, put Indianapolis in position to kick the game tying field goal after they couldn't pick up a first down. You know, everyone and the defense, you know, they gave up a few plays, and look, is that unfair to them? But because they were banged up and missing some guys. Yeah. But at some point in time, again, John Harbaugh talks about this in a very general sense, the idea of playing winning football. And that really means you make just enough plays and you limit your mistakes, right? You don't shoot yourself in the foot. Ravens shot themselves in the foot too much on Sunday, and ultimately Indianapolis made them pay thanks to a kicker who hit four field goals from beyond 53. And again, we've seen over the years, Justin Tucker do things, maybe not that extreme, maybe not that many kicks over 53 yards, but we've seen the Ravens be on the good end of a performance like that. But unfortunately on Sunday, they were on the bad end.
Anything you want to say about the defense before I throw this thing back to baseball conversation where our hearts and minds will be. By the way, Rick Dempsey coming on this week, Alan McCallum stopping by, talking baseball with us this week, and we're gonna have a Clinchmas around here, we hope. Doing the dishes with my wife during Sunday Night Football, and I said to her, if they don't clinch the match number's three, like if they don't clinch this thing by Thursday or Friday, it's going to be very nerve-wracking, because like if they have a week to either win three games or have the Rays lose three games, and that doesn't happen, we're going to be going back to the 60 Phillies and like how awful things. I mean, it's a foregone conclusion, right? But in the meantime, the Ravens defense, where are you with whatever it is at this point, and when Humphrey's coming back and Ajabo and the pass rush? Boy, Kyle Hamilton looked great. I mean, and Roquan Smith's a dude, and Patrick Queen's playing to get paid, and we're trying to keep them all healthy. But the defense is the stronger side of the ball right now.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And again, as well as the offense played in week two, it was choppy in week one, and we saw what happened on Sunday. Great in the first, over the first two drives until the fumble, and after that, way more bad than good. But yeah, I think overall with the defense, I mean, first of all, it's surprising when you just, I mean, Daryl Worley played 76 snaps on defense. He was their third safety. That allowed Hamilton to move back to that nickel spot that he played last year over the second half of the season, and it was really when he came into his own. And I know I obviously understand the appeal and the need for Hamilton to be able to play a deep safety spot, but boy, when you can move him around the way that Mike McDonald did on Sunday, he becomes such a weapon, blitzing off the edge. And look, I mean, Indianapolis, they've got to pick him right. I mean, he was a free runner on a couple of those, so it's not as though it was a necessarily this phenomenal play by him as much as it's a good call and a breakdown on their front, not picking him up to any degree. But when you can do the things that they're able to do with him on Sunday, and credit Daryl Worley, on the back end of Geno Stone, it's not as though the Colts threw the ball over their head a ton. They made the big play that kind of flipped the field position in overtime, sure. But, overall, I think I'm not nearly as concerned about the defense other than just you need to get your guys back. I mean, Ajabo goes out and only played four snaps. Owe was in a walking boot this past week. Even late in the week, it was still in a boot. So I'm not sure we're going to see him this week, with that ankle. They need to get Humphrey back. I think Humphrey is very close, very close. It's not as, I've seen him in the locker room. It's not as though he's in a walking boot, anything like that. He's been looking normal as you can look, and whatever you can take away from that walking around the building and all that. So he's got to be getting close. We'll see about Marcus Williams. We know he did not get the surgery for the pec injury. There's going to be some unknown until he's back on the field, and you can see how he operates with that. But, I think the defense, when you consider Jeremiah Moon played 46 snaps, and to your point, Tavius Robinson, who's their fourth-round rookie draft pick, he played 55 snaps. I mentioned Worley playing 76. Geno Stone played 82. Brandon Stevens
and got
played
hurt.
All
and got dinged. Yeah.
And came back into the game, to his credit. Tough ended up being a rib issue. I was afraid it was more of a head neck issue, but it was listed as ribs. But he was able to come back. Brandon Stevens, we talked about this. He began the spring and training camp working at safety. He's been their top corner to this point. And look, he's played well. I this is a compliment to him, but it's certainly not by design. It certainly wasn't the plan. So when you consider the number of guys that they've been counting on, that a couple of those guys I just mentioned weren't even on the 53-man roster to start the season. the defense is the least of my concern right now. I still have some questions about the pass rush over the course of a full season. You know, even week two in Cincinnati, it's not as though they got to Burrow a whole lot. The ball came out so quick. You know, I mean, it's still a front four that I question can get enough pressure without having to use blitzing and sim pressures and deception and things of that nature. But, you know, I Mike McDonald, I think, can make it work. So I'm not nearly as concerned about the defense other than just you can't keep having injuries. You know, you can't keep losing guys. I mean, it's such a simplistic thing to say, and I get it that, you know, it's football and injuries are part of the game, but the volume that they're dealing with, I mean, these seven guys were inactive on Sunday. Odell Beckham, Marcus Williams, Justice Hill, Marlon Humphrey, Tyler Linderbaum, Ronnie Stanley, Adafe Owe. That's not even counting J.K. Dobbins and Ardarius Washington, who are on IR. That's not counting Tyus Bowser, who started the year on non-football injury. They lost David Ajabo. They lost Geno Stone, although he came back in overtime, just missed a couple plays. They lost Tylan Wallace, which is a loss on special teams, you know, to a hamstring issue, and Gus Edwards. And I know I just mentioned some players who aren't defensive players, but my goodness, I'm out of breath just reciting all those names, Nestor. I mean, and it's week three. We're not even to October yet.
Well, and so, if we would have told you that back in May and June when nobody's getting hurt and it's all, you know, purple magic dust and fairy tales and depth charts and, you know, we have all these wide receivers and all of this depth of this and this Falele guy and Ajabo guy and, you know, when all we're healthy, Stanley's healthy, Humphrey's healthy, these guys that haven't been healthy are healthy and J.K. Dobbins is healthy and pissed off for greatness and wow. Boy, the narrative changes by week four, doesn't it?
Well, I would also say if you told me that back in June, I'd say they're probably feeling okay about being 2-1 then rather than maybe being 1-2. You know, probably not 0-3 because, you know, the Texans week one, I mean, even with a banged up roster, you're expecting to beat them. Although I'd say that, you know, the Texans, CJ Stroud's, you know, quietly doing pretty well for himself over his first three NFL games, especially with their injuries. But yeah, I mean, it's part of it. And again, that's not to excuse the self-inflicted mistakes. It's not to excuse the breakdowns that they had on Sunday. They still should have won, even with all those injuries. That's a game they should have won. They had ample opportunity to win that football game in any phase if they make a play. But, you know, it's part of it. You can't just sit here and say next man up, next man up, next man up until you're blue in the face. It factors. It matters. And the Ravens, you know, at the very least, it creates a smaller margin for error, and they did not play nearly clean enough on Sunday in any phase to ultimately put themselves over the top on Sunday, and then that's why they lost. It's why they're 2-1 rather than 3-0 getting ready to start this three-game road trip.
All right, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery with these fantastic and lucky so far Raven scratch-offs that we took the Cocos last week with Max Weiss and with Ultra Nate. And with Roz from the lottery, as well as Rasig, talking big orange dreams of parades around here. We're suspending the Crab Cake Tour for a couple of weeks here. We are going to be doing a morning breakfast at Hollywood Casino, and I will have these to give away, as well as our friends at Window Nation, of course, Jiffy Lube sponsoring the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Just on a little bit of a hiatus, kind of trying to get our scheduling together. Luke and I are going to try to go on the road for some Orioles baseball in October as the ALDS, ALCS, World Series, all that. And the Ravens are away for a month, which I wrote about in my column this week as well. Our 25th anniversary is all brought to you by our friends at Curio Wellness and Farr and Daughter. It is number 24 this week, which are all of our barn memories. So I'm going to be throwing a bunch of pictures out. And we're going to be throwing out a lot about the community work we've done here. It's really important. I think a lot of folks know if you have an FCC license, it's your first charge to serve the community. I'm very proud of the way we've served the community, including during a time where we have Orioles baseball and low magic numbers and Ravens losses to the former Baltimore Colts, but I go back so far that there were no Baltimore Ravens around here. So 32 years of doing this and 25 years of doing this, we're going to be sharing some pictures and some memories, as well as finding old Indianapolis memories of me carting Bob Irsay's head on a stick. Thank you, Rasig, through Union Station over the weekend. I am Nestor. He is Luke. Eventually, we're going to talk some baseball around here because the team's pretty good. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We're WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore sports in this case and positive around the clock.